The outline of the book is in chapter 1, verse 19. 3 points. Write the things thou hast seen. That would be the vision of Christ in chapter 1. The things which are would be the seven churches of chapter 2 and 3. The things which shall be hereafter from chapter 4, verse 1 to the end of the book.
Today, David Hawking brings it all together as he begins a sweeping, powerful summary of the entire book of Revelation. From the throne of God to the seven churches, from the seals, trumpets, and bowls, judgments, to the fall of Babylon, the rise of the beast, the return of Jesus Christ in glory, the final judgment, and the new heaven and new earth. It's a divine timeline of events that reads like the trailer of the most epic film ever made. Wow, the book of Revelation. Today, David Hawking walks us through the series from chapter 1 to chapter 22, clear, strong, and unforgettable. This is Hope for Today. Just before we begin our study time, here's David with a special word for our listening friends.
Thanks for listening to Hope for Today. Every day we receive calls from those who have been blessed by hearing the teaching of God's Word through yours truly. We certainly appreciate your desire to be a part of our ministry. Through the generous gifts of our listeners, we're able to continue to get God's Word out daily. So we have a credit card automatic monthly donation. It's an authorized agreement for automated donations. So give us a call if you're interested. God bless you.
To support the ministry of Hope for Today, call 800-75-BIBLE. That's in the U.S. 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. And Bible by the numbers 24253. You can also give securely on our website, davidhawking.org. That's David, HOCKING.org. And we'll have our mailing addresses for you later in the program. Right now, though, let's go back to Revelation chapter 1 now, and here's David to begin our review.
I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice like the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, the title of the book is in verse 1, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. John opens his remark to the seven churches in verse 4 and says, Grace be unto you. John is on the Isle of Patmos, according to verse 9. The outline of the book is in chapter 1, verse 19. 3 points. Write the things thou hast seen. That would be the vision of Christ in chapter 1. The things which are would be the seven churches of chapter 2 and 3. The things which shall be hereafter from chapter 4, verse 1 to the end of the book. Another way to look at it is that Christ is Lord of the churches from chapter 1 through chapter 3, verse 22. He is Lion over the nations in chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 20, verse 15. He is Lamb among the redeemed in chapter 21 and 22. He's called Lamb 28 times in the book. There are seven Beatitudes in the book. Chapter 1, verse 3, we just read, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is at hand." You'll find other Beatitudes in chapter 14, verse 13, that says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them." You'll find the third one in chapter 16, verse 15. "Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." You find the fourth one in chapter 19, verse 9. "Blessed are they who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." The next one is found in chapter 20, verse 6, where it says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power." And in chapter 22, verse 7, you have the sixth one, which says, "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And the final one, number 7, Beatitude, is in chapter 22, verse 14. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates into the city." The key word of the book is the word great or loud. The Greek word is used 84 times in Revelation. Psalms was the worship book of Israel. Revelation was the worship book of the early church. Many of the early hymns were written on the basis of passages in Revelation. There are four mysteries in the book. We have the mystery of the seven stars and the seven golden candlesticks in chapter 1, verse 20, which are said to be seven angels and seven churches. We have the mystery of God that should be finished in chapter 10, verse 7, a chapter which speaks about how there is a mixed emotion in reading the book. There is a bitterness as well as a sweetness as we anticipate the vengeance of God being poured out upon this world. There's the mystery of Babylon the Great in chapter 17, verse 5, a harlot woman who sits on a beast. There is a fourth mystery in chapter 17, verse 7, the mystery of the beast upon which the woman sits. In chapter 1, verses 12 to 18, which we just read a moment ago, we have the vision of the resurrected Christ. It is unlike anything else we have read in the New Testament. There are seven churches and there are seven letters. We look in chapter 2, and in verses 1 to 7, we have the church at Ephesus. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them who are evil. Thou hast tried them who say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from where thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." The message to the church at Ephesus is one of neglected priorities. You have left your first love. To each one of these churches it says, "Whoever has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches," plural. Therefore, these messages are for all of us. It wasn't just to that individual church. And to every one of these churches, we read the statement, "to him that overcometh." A promise to the believers is at the end of every one of these letters. Now we read in chapter 2, verse 8, "Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last who is dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life, a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. In the first letter to Ephesus, it's neglected priorities. You've left your first love. In the second letter, it is satanic opposition that is brought to our attention with the key verse in verse 10. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison. The third letter is Pergamos, verse 12 of chapter 2. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he who hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest and even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. In Ephesus, it was neglected priorities. You've left your first love. In Smyrna, it was satanic opposition. The devil's about to throw some of you in prison. In Pergamos, the issue is religious compromise. You have those there who hold the doctrine of Balaam, says verse 14. The church at Thyatira, chapter 2, verse 18. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and thy love, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and who have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden but that which ye have already. Hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In Ephesus, it's neglected priorities. In Smyrna, satanic opposition. In Pergamos, religious compromise. In Thyatira, it is immoral practices. The key verse, verse 20. You allow that woman Jezebel to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication. In Smyrna, chapter 3, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis that have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. At Sardis, the issue is spiritual apathy. Verse 2, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Chapter 3, verse 7, the message to Philadelphia. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, hast not denied my name. Behold, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I'll make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The theme of Philadelphia is open doors. As is clear from verse 8, I've set before thee an open door. The church at Laodicea, verse 14, chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In the case of Laodicea, it's material prosperity. But they did not know that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now when we come to chapter 4, we have a key division of the book. According to chapter 1, verse 19, John was to write the things that he had seen. Number 2, the things which are, and the seven churches is what that is referring to. And in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, after this, I looked. The last phrase says, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. The exact same phrase that's at the end of chapter 1, verse 19, which tells us how the book is organized. Everything from chapter 4, verse 1 is future. And we believe the rapture of the church is even indicated by John being invited to come up into heaven at the beginning of the tribulation period. As we come to chapter 4 and 5, the scene is heaven. In chapter 4, it is God the Father on his throne with four living creatures that are cherubim angels, according to the opening chapters of Ezekiel, which are quoted here, and 24 elders also, who we believe is the completed body of the church. Since they are in heaven all during the tribulation, we believe that the believers of the church age will be in heaven all during the tribulation on earth. Chapter 4, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice that I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardis stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 thrones or seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God, which we believe are referring to the 7 angels, not to the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is a misunderstanding of Isaiah chapter 11 that doesn't list 7 characteristics of the Holy Spirit, but rather 6. Verse 6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around about the throne were 4 beasts or living creatures, full of eyes in front or before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had a face like a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. They were full of eyes within. They rest not day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sits on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sits on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We learn here what the Church of Jesus Christ is to do. and that's to worship God Almighty. And it was, according to the Bible's point here in verse 11, that everything God ever made was intended to bring him pleasure. You say, why did God make us? Why did God make the universe? It's for the pleasure of God himself. We were designed to please the Lord. We were designed to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
That's Bible teacher and author David Hocking, and this is Hope for Today. David will be back in a moment to close out today's study time, but first, Matt and I want to share a very special Bible reading and music resource with you.
How would you like a convenient and worshipful tool for hearing the Psalms every day?
A few years back, Matt, we recorded your dad reading the Psalms, and we added in some of the best worship music in the background. We'd love to place the complete reading of the Psalms by David, along with the worship orchestration background, into your hands for just $10.
And you can pair this with our 365-day devotional through the Psalms titled Learning to Praise in the Psalms.
Get Learning to Praise in the Psalms, and you're going to have an epic journey through the 150 chapters of Psalms with a special devotional for each day of 2026.
And the Psalms have been the morning meditations of my dad, David Hocking, for over 40 years.
Wow, hope, joy, encouragement, worship, insights into the nature and ways of Almighty God, it's all there, and so much more.
And Jim, with each day's devotion, my dad outlines a Psalm passage. He explains challenging passages, shares applications, and highlights a special verse for meditation and a prayer to help you apply what you just learned.
Matt, Psalm 23, a favorite of so many, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 46:10, be still
and know that,
and know that I am
Amen.
God. Psalm 139:14.
I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. These are just a few of the sections you'll study and experience with Learning to Praise in the Psalms.
Learning to Praise in the Psalms is $20, and David's reading of the Psalms with a worship accompaniment, that is $10. Your purchase or a generous donation will help us continue the mission and vision of Hope for Today, that's sharing the gospel with as many people as possible and building up the body of Christ through the faithful teaching of God's Word.
Amen. And please continue to pray for Hope for Today.
To order these resources, you can call us at 800-75-BIBLE in the U.S. That's 800-75-24253. If you live in Canada, call us at 888-75-BIBLE, 888-75-24253. You can also order online at davidhocking.org. That's David Hocking, HOCKING.org. And be sure while you're on the website to check out all the other great Bible study resources that we have for you. Bible teaching by David Hocking. And you know, with a year coming to an end, if you'd like to give a one-time gift or perhaps to become a regular monthly supporter of this daily Bible teaching ministry, it's easy to do. Our mailing address is Hope for Today, Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. In Canada, write to Hope for Today, Box 15011, RPO, Seven Oaks, Abbotsford, BC, V2S HP1. You can also give by going online to davidhocking.org or calling us at 800-75-BIBLE in the U.S. or 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. And here's David to recap where we were today and where we're heading next time on the broadcast in this wonderful, informative review of the book of Revelation.
Here's the outline from Revelation 1:19. Write the things that you've seen. That's chapter 1, the vision of our Lord. And then the things which are, the things that are the seven churches of Revelation. And then the things which shall be after these things. And that would start with chapter 4, verse 1, to the end. Here's another way of putting it together that I use. Number one, he is the Lord of the churches, and that takes us through chapter 3. Secondly, he's the lion over the nations. That starts in chapter 4 all the way through chapter 19, dealing with the great tribulation. And then finally, he is the lamb among the redeemed, chapter 20 through 22. And I like that because it exalts our Lord, puts him first, which of course we want, in chapter 4 and 5. we'll be looking at the worship of heaven, two of my favorite chapters in Revelation. And I hope that you are blessed by all this summary. And we're looking forward to continuing this and giving us an overview of the book of Revelation. God bless you.
Well, thank you, David. And friends, just before we go, would you do us a favor? Reach out when you have a moment and let us know where you listen to the program and even how you listen. You might be listening by radio in Canada or California. You might listen online at davidhawking.org in New York City or somewhere around the world, or by podcast in Texas or Wyoming, maybe South America, whatever the case. Let us know so that we can be the best stewards of God's finances possible. If you'd like to help us do that, call us at 800-75-BIBLE in the U.S., 888-75-BIBLE in Canada, or use the contact form on our website, davidhawking.org. We'd love to hear from you, so reach out when you can. Well, that's that for our time today. On our next broadcast, David continues to recap all that we've been learning during our time in the book of Revelation. So join us again and invite someone you know to listen along with you as David Hawking brings you the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible right here on Hope for Today.